We now turn to Genesis, to chapter 17. This has been just a real fruitful study, I believe, just coming back to the basics, coming back to this, the first book of the Bible. We've followed God's creation of the world. We've seen the fall. We've seen the sinfulness of man and the flood, God punishing and wiping away and starting anew with Noah. And in a similar sense, we've started anew with Abraham, and yet we see Abraham's faults as well, as we've seen last chapter. He and his wife devised this plan regarding Hagar. But here we are in chapter 17. Let's hear the word of God. Genesis chapter 17. This was found on page 11 in the Bibles provided. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskins shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abram said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, And he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and the son and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Let's pray. Lord God, we are dealing with your covenant dealings, profound relationship that you have sovereignly entered with your servant Abraham that has significance for us. Lord, we pray that you would send of your Spirit, Lord, that we would understand these things written so long ago. Lord, that we would show us the great blessings that we have through Abraham, through his great son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, set our eyes on him, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage before us is a striking one. We've followed the covenant development. We've seen several different aspects of covenant throughout this book of Genesis. We've even seen God himself enter into covenant and bind himself to his promises of an heir and promises of an inheritance to Abraham. But here we see God, that covenant promise growing into a larger tree, growing into a budding flower, as God is adding to his promises, adding to his stipulations, giving an additional sign. And as we who are in relationship with God through covenant, this is a most profound chapter for you and I. Now, it's true, we're dealing with practices that are no longer of significance in the church, but they are significant for our understandings of the signs that we have been given, of the promises and blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message, as we look from this chapter this morning or this evening, is you have been renamed and circumcised in Christ. Walk in him. You have been renamed and circumcised in Christ. Walk in him. Now, let's look at the beginning of this chapter. We see that Abraham is at this time 99 years old. The last that follows on the heels of the end of the last chapter when Abraham was 86 years old. So there's been 13 years. Ishmael was a baby. Now he's a 13-year-old. He's into his early teens. And what happens? God shows up. The Lord appeared to Abram and speaks to him. And God speaks for a whole paragraph. And he speaks for another paragraph, and he speaks for another paragraph, and it's almost as if Abram doesn't even have time to respond. This is all coming from God. There's things that we should notice from this. Abram can't just pop in on God. God has the prerogative. God has the ability to withhold his presence for a time, and then at his timing, when he deems it right, he shows himself to Abram. And when God chooses to appear, God does all the talking. God sovereignly enacts a covenant. Dear friends, this idea of covenant, we've seen it a few times in Genesis, but this is prevalent throughout the cultures at this time. If a king of one nation was strong enough, he would offer a covenant to other kings. Now, that offer wasn't, hey, do you really want to do this? What are you willing to offer? What would you like to have? It's not a bargaining. It's not a trading. It's not among equals. It is the strong guy saying to the weak guy, you will do this or you will face the consequences. This is a sovereignly enacted covenant. Abram doesn't get to say anything in these paragraphs because Abram is completely dependent on God. Abram must receive what God offers. This is the, and this is good. This is good what God offers. God is a good God. And look at the gracious promises he makes to both Abraham and to Sarah, his wife. And notice also what God commands Abraham. He says, walk before me and be blameless. I know it's sometimes common in colloquial language today to ask your brother or sister, how's your Christian walk going? Well, that idea of walk, we're not just talking about, you know, how do you put your left foot and your right foot? How do you have the right synchronization of that procedure? We're talking about how is your life? And that's the significance of what God is commanding Abram. God is commanding everything that Abram is. And we'll see that in more detail as we look at what goes on. God gives Abraham a new name. Now, Abram's name was Abram. God changes it to Abraham. The ESV footnotes here are helpful. Abraham, or Abram, the name that he's had for the last 99 years of his life. Avram means exalted father. Now, just a note, he's 99 years old. He's been childless for 86 years of his life, and yet his name this whole time has meant exalted father. That's got to teach a man patience. Oh, what's your name? Oh, I'm exalted father. Oh, didn't see any kids. Well, this has been a name that Abram has had from the beginning, and yet God is changing it here. Now, the ESV footnote it says that Abraham means a father of multitude. The interesting thing here is you might think that that's perhaps what's being said here, because God, in giving this name, verse 5, he says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. You might think that father of a multitude of nations, father of a multitude, that phrase in Hebrew must just be Abraham, they've just translated for us. But actually, that's Av Hamon. The father of a multitude is actually Av Hamon in Hebrew. So you get this kind of weird question of, well, what does Abraham mean? And let's look a little bit further. And it is the significance in the context is because God is renaming him a father of a multitude. That is the significance here. But notice that God also renames Sarah. Verse 15. God renames her. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Now, it doesn't really explain God doesn't explain why her name is changing, except that in context he is promising a child to her. The footnote here is Sarai and Sarah both mean princess. So what's the difference? Well, what's common to both these renamings in this single chapter is that God is adding an H, you know, in English an H, but in Hebrew it's a hey. And the interesting thing is that God's name in Hebrew is Yod Hey Vav. Hey, and it seems that what God is doing is he is adding part of his name to their name. And yes, the significance is in the context of this covenant that God is promising an offspring. God is going to make Abraham a father of a multitude of nations. Sarah is going to have a child. But the significance here of God changing their names is that God is calling them his. God is sovereignly entering this covenant. God is giving them new names. And this is a sovereign prerogative. Think about Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Maybe you're more familiar by the names that they got. Because whenever these men who were captives, taken away from their own land, subjugated by a foreign king, they were given new names. And perhaps those are the ones that are more familiar to you. Belteshazzar, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The one who has the power over you has the power to name you. The glorious thing is that God is renaming Abram and Sarai. He is giving them new names. He is showing his ownership of them, his sovereignty over them. He is putting his name upon them. And this affects everything. You think of every person that Abram has to interact with, even every person that he's ever interacted with before that knew his last name, he's got to, don't call me Abram anymore. God in heaven gave me a new name. This name affects every relationship he has. He's got to go through the process of telling people the good news that he has a new name from God. It affects everything. God is doing something marvelous here. You can think of a similar things that happen elsewhere in Scripture, like Jesus giving Simon the name Peter. That's for another time. But it is a good time to recognize that if you are in Christ, you have a new name. Revelation 2:17. To the one who conquers, I will give him some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. That's the glorious promise that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that overcoming this world in him, we have new names in him. That's just a little bit about the new names. Let's talk about circumcision. Genesis 17:11. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Now, you'll remember I read from Romans 4 that this idea of this being a sign is repeated by the Apostle Paul. He says he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. This language of a sign and a seal, we talk about that with the sacraments, that comes from the Bible. That comes from, this is biblical language. Paul is talking about that there is significance in what is here. And we're going to talk about what that significance is. We're talking about what it's a seal of. But we've also seen this not just looking ahead in Scripture, but we see this in Scripture that came before. God gave a sign whenever he brought Noah through the flood. The sign was a rainbow in heaven. And the significance there was it wasn't just for Noah to see and all the people who survived the flood to see and all the people who would be born of them. The significance there was that this was a sign for God. It was his own reminder. And yet it was visible to everyone else as well. It was a comfort. It's a comfort to us when we see a rainbow, knowing that God is reminding himself of his own promises. A rainbow is a sign in the sky. And Abraham has received a sign in the sky. God has told Abraham that his offspring will be as numerous as the stars in heaven. Every night, Abram lays down his head. He's reminded of the great promises of God. But this new sign for Abraham brings things down to earth. It brings them closer to home. And it brings them to bear significance on this big question, or this big longing, this big promise that God has had for him for a long time. That is the promised seed. Because God has promised Abraham an offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky. And God is, by the act of circumcision, marking Abraham's male reproductive organ. I mean, there's a correlation here. God says, you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. God is telling Abram in this chapter that Abraham will have to reproduce again. He will have another son. He will have a son by Sarah, not by the slave girl. The affair with Hagar was a bad idea. That was a bad move. But God is faithful to his plans. Abraham and Sarah haven't ruined everything by their mistakes. God is giving this sign to Abraham to show that he will accomplish the promises, not Abraham by works of the flesh. This sign is a reminder to Abraham, even on his own body, of the faithfulness of God. And so Abraham will have to reproduce again. And God marks his reproductive organ. And there's that connection between the sign and the thing signified. And yet, there has to be in Abraham's mind, well, I had to wait 86 years for my first son. How much longer am I going to have to wait? And knowing that, how much more valuable is this sign going to be to Abraham? He has a mark on his body. He'll see it every time he changes his clothes. This is a reminder that God is faithful. Do we not need signs? The signs that God has given us? We do. Abraham needed this. He needed it to be patient for the promise to be fulfilled, as indeed God would do it. And the hope for this period of history and the world was a hope in that reproduction, in that offspring to come. It was a hope that was for a promised one, one who would crush the seed of the serpent with his heel. There was a longing, there was an eager expectation with every conception. Will this be the one? That's some of the significance of this sign. It has to do with offspring. But it means more than that. It means more than that. You notice that both Abraham and Sarah are given new names, but Sarah's not given this sign. There's not male circumcision and female circumcision. Although, think a little bit about what the significance here is of the circumcision. Moses, in drawing this out for the people of Israel, is able to tell us who we're you know, culturally a bit farther away from this. Something that would have been obvious to them would be obvious to Moses, would be obvious to Abraham. Is perhaps we're a little bit thick. We take a little bit longer. But God actually drew out for Israel the significance of what circumcision meant beyond just the promise of an offspring. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. Dear friends, Moses is writing down both Genesis and Deuteronomy. And it is plain to him that circumcision meant more than just a flint knife and blood. God cares more than about cosmetic surgery. It's about cleansing. It's about a heart that is no longer stubborn, a heart that is malleable to the will of God, a heart that submits to God on high. You know what that means? That means that Sarah could have the thing signified here. Sarah could be circumcised, we might say, in her heart. She takes part in this. She has a new name. She is, God cares about the women. At this period of time, God cares about the heart at this time too. It's not just about the flesh. It's not just about cosmetic surgery here. Circumcise your heart. God, where do I cut? That's a significance here. And furthermore, God presses forward the deep need that is here within us. Because Moses records also in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. A baby needs someone else to do a circumcision on him. We, for the thing signified, for the circumcision of our heart, male and female, we need God to do it. That's the power of this covenant that is sovereignly administered. It is God who is going to do the work. God who is going to bring this about. God who is entering this relationship. And how great it is that He Himself will bring it to pass. He Himself will perform the heart surgery on you and I. How marvelous. But do you realize by this sign how much control God is imposing on His people? This sovereign control has you've got to take it all together. Abraham, from this moment on, cannot be intimate with his wife without remembering the promises of God. Abraham cannot go again into Hagar. Ever. He is a marked man. His intimate actions are to reflect the God whose name has been applied to him. And this is true of us too. It is not, now I'm a Christian and it affects what I do on Sunday. No, every aspect of our lives is affected by our sovereign Lord. There's no hour of the day, no activity which we partake in during which God is not interested in being Lord over us. And consider what this meant not just for Abram and for Sarah. Consider what this meant for every succeeding generation. Abraham is circumcised this very day. But later, Isaac is going to need to be circumcised. Well, Isaac is circumcised, but then Jacob comes along. Jacob is going to need to be circumcised. This is instruction that every generation that is born needs something to happen to them. Needs something done to them from outside themselves. Dear friends, how natural is it for a baby boy to be born with a foreskin? And yet God is saying that our natural state is not enough. Little babies are born sinners. And they need to be cleansed. They need to have this cleansing done to them, this sign and the thing it signifies. And just to specify how dependent we are for this, God specifies this is to happen on the eighth day. In a time in our life when we are most dependent on others, and it is so apparent, when we were babies, we needed someone from outside ourselves to feed us, to change our diapers, to keep us warm, to soothe us to sleep. And God is saying that we are dependent. We are dependent, utterly dependent, just as a baby is. Dependent on someone else, even dependent on Him for our cleansing. So this is a sign that is significant for the promised seed. It's significant for what is it signifies internally in the heart of the believing person of Abraham's household. It's sovereignly administered. Did I mention it's painful? Recall another story that's also recorded for us in Genesis. It was 3 days after the fact that the sons of Hamor were still sore from their circumcisions and they were easily prey to the sword. Brother and sister, I don't know what antiseptic and pain medications were available then, but regardless, this was painful. This meant commitment. This was surgery. This involved shedding of your own blood. And yes, that shedding of blood, that's another aspect of this covenant that we've seen time and again. We've seen we'll see later when Moses is enacting the covenant with the people, he sprinkles the book with the blood. He sprinkles the people with the blood. And our Lord said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Abram's seen blood of the covenant before. He's seen the animals that he himself cut in two, but he wasn't the one that walked between the pieces. It was God, who represented by that fire pot, who took on the covenant curses himself. But God is, in this part, putting that sign on Abram in a painful way, a costly way. God is, by this sign, telling Abram, when I say walk before me and be blameless, that's not going to be easy. Do you catch the significance of this sign in the life of Abraham? Significance that how much of this carries over to our own personal lives? The call of Christ on you and me is costly. It is at times very painful. And we're told that in advance. We're shown what that looks like in our forefather Abraham. And we see, on top of that all, we see some other significant things about circumcision here. This was a sign required of all Abraham's household. Verse 12. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Verse 14. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God takes us very seriously. It has to be done. It has to be done. But that's the striking thing. Abram is the man who's received the promises. Abram's the one who's got the new name. He's Abraham now. Sarah's the one who's got the name changed too. But notice, it's everybody in his household. Now, do you remember a few chapters back when Abram's nephew Lot was in trouble? What was Abram to do? How many people was Abram able to raise from his own household? How many men was he able to raise up to fight? 318. We know that Abram has been collecting a band around himself from Haran. Genesis 12 verse 5 tells him he acquired servants in Haran. Genesis 12, 16 says that he also got male servants from Egypt. Do you realize that Abram at this point in time, this is not just his family. This is not just sons of Abraham. Do you recognize that? This is an international party. And that's the way it was from the beginning. Circumcision isn't just about who your father is. It's about, are you in the household of faith? And that's the way it was from the beginning. This sign that God put on the covenant community was to show that the community of faith doesn't have to be your bloodline. It has to be your faith. It was never about bloodline. And so Romans 4, chapter 11, or chapter 4, verse 11, the purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Paul lays out for us the significance of why circumcision didn't come first and the covenant of Genesis 15 didn't come later. Paul lays out the significance of why Genesis 12 came so much farther before even that. Because it's by faith. Abram needed to learn faith by this point in his life to show that the sign is significant of that. It's signifying that. It's sealing that. It's marking that as genuine. But it's not about the sign. It's not about the seal. It's about the faith. So this passage, the way that God has brought about this narrative, that Moses records it from us, the way that these events actually were brought to transpire by our Lord, this shows us that we are children of Abraham. Apart from circumcision of our foreskin, if we have the same faith that Abraham had. It is about Abraham being a father. It's about Abraham being a father to us. Being a father of his international household, those that weren't even born to him. Him being the father of faith. Now, one other note that's significant as we look at circumcision. I know we're spending a lot of time in circumcision. It's a real prominent part of this chapter. This is the word of God. I hope this is helpful to you. This is profoundly helpful. As we understand the covenant signs that God has given us. But notice this one last thing. God required Ishmael to be circumcised. This same chapter that God reveals that Ishmael is not the son of the promise. From the rest of the narrative, we know that Ishmael is not regenerate. Ishmael is not saved. And yet God required that he receive the sign of the covenant. Now Ishmael has received promises. He's received promises both in last chapter when God spoke to Hagar. He receives promises even here indirectly through Abraham. God's going to multiply him. God's going to show his kindness to him. But as far as we can tell, these are all promises that are short of salvation. Yet God requires this man, this boy, to be circumcised. I think God put this here so that there wouldn't be two rabbis arguing about whether there's such a thing as circumcisional regeneration. Okay? Our baptism doesn't save us. Their circumcision didn't save them. Ishmael, he can receive the sign of the covenant. He can receive some promises of God, but he does not receive salvation. So let that be a warning. Dear friend, you may be baptized. You may have the mark of the covenant upon you. But you too must believe. You too must walk in the footsteps of your forefather Abraham in the faith that he had. Now, let's flip forward. We've looked at Abraham and Sarah and how they've received these new names. Abraham has received this sign of circumcision, this amazing sign of circumcision. Let's flip forward. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus received a name and circumcision on the same day, just as Abraham did. Interesting. Jesus received the sign of the covenant and his name at the same time. And Jesus did not just have this mark on his body. Jesus had a circumcised heart. Jesus had a clean heart, a cleansed heart. He was not stubborn against the things of God. He was following his Father. He was open to what God had commanded in his word. He meditated on the law of the Lord day and night. He had faith like his Abraham, his father. He was open to the commands. He believed. And he did so every moment of his life. I think part of what was driving Jesus, what was on his mind was, I am clean. I have been circumcised. I am named by my Father. I will do all things necessary to save my people from their sins. That's what my name means. Jesus received circumcision, this sign of the covenant. And so after I've talked to you about all the amazing significance of circumcision, you may be wondering, well, why don't we do that today? Well, dear friends, hear what Paul has to say. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. I could read on, he doesn't end the sentence there, but do you realize what Paul is saying? If you have been baptized, if you have the what is signified in the covenant, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have the circumcision of Christ. You are circumcised. You are heirs of this covenant with Abraham. We are of his household. We are, he is our father. Dear friends, we are Jews. We are Jews. Biblically speaking, that's us. Romans chapter 2, verse 28, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. Dear friends, if you have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are circumcised. I can call you a Jew because biblically you are. You are a son of Abraham. You are an heir to these promises because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, you are utterly dependent upon God to have this covenant relationship. Just as Abraham was, he was utterly dependent on him. You're utterly dependent on Christ to receive it, to be cleansed. You're utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit's work within you to give you a new heart, to give you that cleansing from the very inside. And every one of us must receive this. We must receive this sign, both the thing signified and the thing that signifies it now is our baptism. Women, you must be baptized. Children, you must be baptized. Everyone, to be part of this community, you must receive this sign as well. So we are baptized. And we're baptized, catch this, into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, it wasn't just Abram who had God's name put upon him. It wasn't just Sarah who had God's name put upon her. It is you and I. We have had the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit placed upon us in this way that's signified by baptism. In a very real way, this is God putting his name upon you. If you have been baptized, if you have been called a Christian, Christ has set his name on you. You are not your own. Every part of your life is claimed by the triune God in whose name you have been baptized. Even your most intimate relationships, even your most private activities are affected because you bear the circumcision of Christ. In that moment of temptation, when you have walked down that road more times than you would dare to admit, be reminded, you have the name of Christ placed upon you. You are not your own. Every action that you take reflects Him. You have been baptized. And you are in the family. You are adopted. Whether native born or bought with money, whether Christian born of Christian parents or a new convert, we all receive the same sign, for we all need the same cleansing from our sinful nature. And you have received it, if you are Christ's. We are no longer marked by our male reproductive organs. We're not awaiting a baby to be conceived. He was conceived. And it wasn't with the help of any man. Jesus Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has come. He has already been born. He is the one. He is the Savior of the world. He is the reason we no longer need this old sign. For he gives us the thing signified by his indwelling us by his Holy Spirit, by regenerating us and giving us faith like Abraham our father. And we are an international assembly. It was that way from the beginning, and it continues to greater fullness today. We should have expectation that just as Abraham would go to Damascus or Egypt and return with new members of his household, that wherever we go, God will add to his family. Christ will build his church. And it does not matter if ultimately, if baptism is important. Circumcision was important. God called it the covenant of circumcision. If you're not circumcised, you are cut off from your people. Baptism is important. But at the same time, recognize its significance as we understand circumcision. An uncircumcised man was cut off from his people. Yes, baptism does matter, but don't put your trust in the sign. Remember Ishmael. Don't just look for the sign. Don't just look for the baptism. Look for the fruit of the Spirit. Look for a heart that's being molded after Christ. It's malleable by His Word, under His Word. Do you have a heart that has been cleansed? Are you circumcised in the foreskin of your hearts? Has Christ removed from you your heart of stone, a stubborn heart that resists Him? Do you have the circumcision of Christ? If not, today is the day to improve upon your baptism. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of faith. Today is the day that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, the first day of the week. Trust in Him. Repent of your sins. You need to. You must do this. Children, you need to do this. You need to repent. Women, you need to do this. Men, you need to do this. Repent and believe. And therefore, as you have received Christ, receiving Him by faith, signified in our baptisms, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. You have been renamed. You have been circumcised in Christ. Walk in Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You, in Your infinite wisdom, were able to use this sign to place it upon our forefather Abraham. A sign that is manifold in its significance, and yet so simple. Lord, even babes in the faith can grasp some of this significance. Yet, Lord, we need Your Holy Spirit to teach us how this is for our growth in Christ. Lord, show us the significance of our baptisms. Lord, give us that thing signified there. Lord, that we pray for our children that they might believe, that they might carry these covenant promises dear and near in their own hearts. Lord, that you would work in them that which is pleasing in Your sight. But Lord, do not work in our children without working in us. Lord, each one of us needs to take these to ourselves. We need faith in You. Lord, strengthen our faith. Lord, we pray that You would use Your covenant signs in the way that is pleasing to You. Lord, thank You for all that is here in this, Your Word. And Lord, would we ever henceforth walk in light of the marks You have placed upon us, the name that You have given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.